John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And welcome into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, how we doing? What's going on?
Outrage.
Outrage,
outrage,
huh?
Right now.
What are you outraged about?
Well, we just watched it together. We watched the SportsCenter Top 10, and they did not include the Daniel Rios goal.
It is disrespectful. Very disrespectful. And they had, like, five or six plays in their top 10 that were soccer.
It was soccer loaded.
I've never seen more plays in the top 10 coming from soccer than we just saw on SportsCenter.
I think it was like three from the same game, right?
Yeah, it was. And not one of them. The Daniel Rios goal from last night for Nashville SC. Big 3-0 win last night for Nashville SC against FC Dallas. Daniel Rios, highlight reel goal. I mean, he put that dude on skates and nothing. Nothing in the SportsCenter top 10. I agree. Now that you say that, I'm outraged as well.
No, and as the list was going,
we kept counting it down.
It's like, okay, well, it's going to be number one. Because, yeah, I mean, seriously, that dude absolutely, I mean, he buckled him. He dropped him. And then my favorite part of the clip of that is the guy gets up and sort of does, like, you know, he's like signaling to people, yeah. Sort of like trying to, you know, you're trying to lessen your embarrassment. Like, someone else should have, like, been there to somehow keep my body from totally collapsing as this dude schooled me in front of everyone. You know, I mean, it was just.
I mean, in fairness, I would have come up with something too.
I would have, like, pretended to be hurt. Yeah. He should have done, which, you know, I mean, that does happen in soccer sometimes.
Quite frequently.
Stay down and, you know, yeah, pretend. But then again, you're also then, like, admitting, like, if you grab your ankle, like, it's an admission that he just broke your ankles, because that was the definition of that term. I mean, boom, that's, I mean, I'm watching it
was
over
dirty.
And over again. It was filthy.
Big win for Nashville SC, too. I mean, the playoffs, they're looking more and more likely.
They are.
It's pretty incredible. Given everything that they've had to go through in their first year as an expansion franchise, you make the playoffs in your first year through all that, be pretty impressive.
Yeah, and you know, when you have an entertaining, you know, style like last night, too, you know, it's like some things are coming together for this team. So their record, I had this and I've forgotten, but I mean, since they've come back, I believe they're unbeaten at home. Is it 4-0-3?
I believe so.
Yeah. And you know, Daniel Rios, you know, they got some fun players here, you know, to watch. So, yeah, that would be quite an accomplishment. That field in the last few days for opponents has not been kind.
No.
There've been some rough moments for the opposition to Nashville teams on that field.
It has. People traveling here. The Bills, FC Dallas, the Houston Texans. Been giving up a lot of points. Either the goals or touchdowns. Either way you want to count
and
it.
And giving them up while being, you know.
Just embarrassed.
Yeah, just, you know, like, just disrespected, man. Maybe the Steelers will turn it around for the opposition.
So. Maybe. Got to feel good if you're the Titans right now with the good mojo coming off of Nissan Stadium. Good for Nashville SC. 3-0 win last night against FC Dallas. Munson. Your boys, they get it done in game one of the World Series last night.
Not just my boys. Clayton Kershaw.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Which is awesome because everybody, like, especially like after that game five loss, everybody was ripping Kershaw and how bad he was and choke Shaw and all these jokes coming out. And it wasn't even his fault. Like, Dave Roberts just kept him in. His pitch count was pretty high. Kept him in the sixth inning, and then all of a sudden you got the Braves just hitting dingers on him at that point. So last night, you know, his pitch count was low. His pitches were good. I think the pitch on that home run was probably his worst pitch of the night, which that was a pretty ugly pitch. And then, yeah, it went out for a home run. So that was Kershaw, prime Kershaw, regular season Kershaw playing last night. And it was absolutely amazing. And I'm just glad – because I said this time and time again, Kershaw has these performances, and they can never get the bats going. And so it's good in that fifth inning that they were able to, you know, finally start racking up those points and putting points on the board. And credit to Mookie Betts for stealing every base that he possibly can.
He might have a future in this game. He might be okay.
He might make the big bucks in this league. He's that good. And so, like, that's kind of the story of that game, is just getting Kershaw that win. Because I saw a lot of that yesterday on TV. And I'm critic of Kershaw, too, because I'm a fan. And I'm critic of every, you know, player that's on a team that I'm a fan of. I'm critical of LeBron James. I cuss out LeBron James during a game. Well, like, what bad can I say about LeBron James? He plays basketball amazing. But I'm critiqued over him. And same thing for Kershaw. And I saw a lot of negativity of Kershaw chokes in the playoffs. We shouldn't trust him and all these different storylines. And guess what? Now he's 3-1 in the postseason. So all that, you know, playoff curse for Kershaw, let's nip some of that in the bud now.
And highest, according to ESPN, highest swing and miss rate of his career in the postseason. Straight up 50% swing and miss rate.
Yeah, and so that 3-1 is that Braves game that he should have been out early on in that game to begin with. So he's 3-1 in this postseason. So I love how people like to focus on the fact that he was like 11-12 at some point and all this like mumbo jumbo. Like, let's focus on the fact that he's 3-1 in this postseason, and a lot of people expect him to choke every year. So, like, kudos to him. And that to me, like, and Mookie's performance obviously was amazing. He had a home run last night, and, you know, Cody Bellinger gets it going with the second home run in the second straight game. So, like, the Dodgers, man, when they get the hot bat, man, they're
loaded.
It's hard to get those guys off the field.
They are loaded. You and Jim Wyatt, I know, is a happy guy today, too.
The winner of Game 1 has won 20 of the last 25 World Series.
So that's a very good sign. Wow.
Very good sign for the Dodgers.
Snell, I don't know what they're doing with their bullpen tonight, so that kind of worries me a little bit. Like, everybody's calling for a sweep now.
Yeah, we'll
after watching
that,
I'm not going to go that far. I think Snell will probably get it done tonight. If it, you know, because I don't know what this bullpen situation is going to be for the Dodgers in Game 2, knowing that they're going to play Walker Buehler in 3. They're probably going to play Julio in 4. And so, like, if it's Dustin May again, like it was in Game 7, like, I'm not too confident that this game is.
Dustin May.
Yeah, like, look, I like him as a reliever, but as a starter, I'm good on Dustin May starting. So, no.
I think that I just thought of this because they just threw up there this would be their first in 32 years. That 88, that's the most, that's the hardest I've ever rooted for not my team in the World Series. And I know you guys don't remember that World Series, but that was easily like the most hated team then. Was like the bat, like Canseco, McGuire, the A's, Eckersley. Like you had, like you just couldn't like that team. And then the Dodgers.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah, well, and that wasn't even like the all that roid stuff yet. You know,
they're just like
Canseco. Yeah, but you know, Kirk Gibson, who broke my heart leaving the Tigers, and yet that when he hit that home run, that might be the greatest live sports moment. Not live in the stadium, but. That's right up there, like unbelievable. Like you don't hit that off Eckersley. So 32 years, man. Wow, that's a lot. They've had a lot of good teams since then.
They have a lot of good teams in this decade.
That yeah, right.
Haven't been able to get the job done. It's not over yet, but I like their chances. I mean, when you combine their starting pitching and that lineup, like it's just hard to beat.
Yeah,
that lineup is unbelievable.
The Rays are really kind of. Yeah, you know, I mean, the Rays got through the Astros after almost having a historic.
Yeah.
You know, they're struggling right now. They're kind of fading.
They are. And I think sometimes when you have some guys in your lineup like Mookie Betts who've been there and they've done it before and you can see the light at the end of the tunnel now, you're 3 games away from winning a world championship. Some people, like, back away from that. Other people, like, you start licking your chops a little bit saying, here we go. And they play even better. Mookie Betts, like when he's on, top 2 player in baseball, like him and Mike Trout.
But it's also it's safe to say too that by looking at both series beforehand and looking at how the Rays ended that series against the Astros and how much like how they struggled and let that team come back from 3-0 and how sluggish they looked like throughout, even in that Game 7. And then when you look at the Dodgers on the they're down 3-1, they kind of got the hot bat. And not to mention the fact that, you know, they won Game 7. And so they're kind of on a momentum streak. They won 4 straight at this point. Well, 3 straight. So I think that the Dodgers right now are carrying on the momentum from that last series. And hopefully, you know, it carries over to this one. Hopefully, you know, I'm confident in Walker Buehler in game three, and I'm confident that if Julio starts game four, I'm confident in him. And so it's a matter of the games in between that, the two, and then the game five and who they're going to play there. And it's all going to be a manage of bullpens at this point. And that's what we knew going into this series and going into the playoffs in general. The team with the deepest bullpen is going to probably win the championship this year. And that's what the case is going to be in this World Series. So we'll see how Dave Roberts, as much as I criticize him of how he handles the bullpen, let's see how he handles it in this series.
Well, and this could be a really good year for Munson. Here we are. The Lakers have won a championship. The Dodgers 3 games away. Alabama looks
really
good right now.
Super Bowl bound, baby.
Raiders might make the playoffs.
I mean, Raiders.
What a year for Munson.
After beating the Chiefs, we are definitely Super Bowl bound, Joe.
And why not? I'd believe it at this point.
And you don't even have us. You didn't have us on your list, did you?
You're the King Midas of
fans. The Browns.
You have the Browns instead of us? Oh, yeah, you did. You sure did.
I did not have the Raiders. I did not.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I still don't, but okay. We'll see.
I still don't.
Mark it down.
Still not there.
Mark it down, Raider Nation. Joe Rexroad did not have the Raiders in the playoffs. Call them out.
It is hard to feel good about the Browns right at this moment, but
they're still 4-2. They're fine.
But it's a matter of who do you trust more, Derek Carr or Baker Mayfield?
You had Mariota replacing Derek Carr by about now.
But let's not forget.
He's healthy now.
But time out.
He's ready.
Time out. To clarify, what did I say the reason was? Didn't I always say that I like Derek Carr personally, but I didn't think John Gruden and Mike Mayock like Derek Carr as much as I did?
You had some qualifiers in there.
Yeah.
But also, no one – I mean, you didn't know what he – thought that Carr was going to play this well, right? He has stepped it up big time.
That and the fact that, like, look, Mariota's, like, I just thought, like, when signing a backup quarterback the way they signed Mariota, I just assumed that this was a sign that John Gruden and Mike Mayock was like, this is the guy we've been hyping up for so long since his Oregon days, and we finally got a chance to, like, use him. Let's, like, go start him over Derek Carr, which I thought, and I've said it countless times here, which would have been a dumb move on their part, but they didn't do it, and I'm happy that Derek Carr got to get a fire lit under his butt in order for him to play well, and I'm glad that he's finally back healthy, like knock on wood, because he could still, you know, the season's still young, but Derek Carr's playing pretty well, man, and obviously having guys like Waller who stepped up this year, having Josh Jacobs who's still playing the same, like he's not having that sophomore slump. And so watching those guys play, man, is pretty amazing. It's just the defense now has got to step up.
I'm glad we got Mariota brought up because Twitter, it's overwhelmingly on my side on the Mariota face of franchise. But
I'm glad that your fan base has come through for you.
I don't even know who these people are.
That's not a very good way to treat your fan base.
Well, okay, I know some of them. Okay, so Shelly Lobaton, he gave me this whole rundown, so I want to see if you agree. Okay. Eddie George in 99 and 2000. McNair, 01 through 05.
Yeah, I mean, those two are easy, but yeah.
Vince Young, 06 and 07.
Sure.
Albert Haynesworth in 08.
I'd have to think about that one, but okay.
Chris Johnson from 09 to 13.
I don't know if he lasted all the way to 13, but sure.
We'll Delanie Walker in 14.
Okay.
Mariota, 15, 16, 17, 18.
No.
I know you say no. Derrick Henry, 19 and 20.
I agree with that one.
Yeah. I'm struggling to find Luans here, man. I wasn't struggling
yesterday.
Yeah.
I found a ton of Luans.
I need to see this. I need to see the evidence in the text thread. And if they're not.
I mean, I read it off to you.
Well, I know, but I want evidence they're not related to you, too.
Oh, my goodness. I don't have that many relatives. There was like 30 people.
I don't know. Hey, it's a new thought. I will say that. It's a new thought. I had never heard that one before.
Well, like I said, this show is an educational experience.
That's right.
I'm glad that we got to experience that together yesterday.
We're introducing things into the world.
We are. When we come back, we're going to break down the Titans' opponent this week, the Steelers, 2-5-0 teams matching up at Nissan Stadium on Sunday. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know, a lot is written and said about his size, his stiff arm, his power, and those things, and all of those things are true. But the damage that he does when he gets in open space, that he's able to couple those attributes with sprinter speed, is just ridiculous. So We got a full day's work ahead of us in Nashville, trying to minimize his impact on the game. Those issues multiply because of the quality play that they're getting out of Tandy Hill at the quarterback position. I mean, this guy's making great decisions. He's taking care of the ball. He's spreading the ball around to a variety of eligibles. He's utilizing his athleticism and mobility, whether it's by design or impromptu, very well and very prudently. They're utilizing it very prudently. They give you a lot of things to work on. They possess the ball. They dominate the game, and they control the game over the course of 60 minutes.
That was Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin talking about the Titans offense. Did he say Ryan Tannehill?
So is he like, is that like Jessica Tandy and Steve Tannehill mixed into Ryan Tannehill? I love it.
Tannehill.
I love Mike Tomlin.
I could listen to Mike Tomlin talk all day. Matter of fact, as we're talking right now, Mike Tomlin is on the TV screen talking.
There he is.
Maybe saying the same clip that we just heard.
Talking about
that's how good Munson is.
Ryan Tannehill. But, yes, I like the word he used there for Derrick Henry. Just ridiculous.
I just got to hear it again. Hold on. One more time.
That they're getting out of Tannehill at the quarterback position.
I can't defend you, Mike Tomlin.
Tannehill. Yes.
So he's, disrespect. Sounds, disrespect Tannehill.
He sounds like the mayor of Candyland.
Yeah, there you go.
He's Ryan Tannehill. He's a big, like, candy cane. Like, I'm Ryan Tannehill.
NFL MVP Ryan Tannehill, baby. That's good stuff.
Yes.
Looking forward to this matchup on Sunday. 2-5-0 teams between the Steelers and the Titans. And, Joe, as you look at this Steelers roster, and we'll start with their defense. If you're the Titans, what concerns you the most about the Steelers defensively that you've got to counteract on Sunday?
Well, I guess I'll throw out some stats first. So they lead the NFL in these categories. Quarterback hit percentage on pass plays, 27.5%. Quarterback hurries, 34. Quarterback hurries a game, 6.8. Defensive net pass yards, 1,095. Sacks, 24. Sacks a game, 4.8. Quarterback pressure, 74. Quarterback pressures a game, 14.8. Tackles for loss, 42. And total yards allowed, 1,426. They lead the NFL and all those things. They're second in interceptions a game, in rush yards allowed per carry, 3.34, and per game, 66. Total yards allowed per game, defensive completion percentage, quarterback hits.
So they got a
57 QB hits, yeah. 58.5 on the defensive completion percentage. This is easily the best defense that the Titans have seen in terms of personnel and just in performance. And now Devin Bush is out, and that's a big thing. And that's also interesting because – apparently the guy replacing him, people who may remember Mike Vrabel's first preseason, one of the great stories that didn't quite materialize was Robert Spillane, yep. Undrafted free agent who really was excellent in the preseason. And I don't remember exactly. I'll have to go look back. I think he may have initially made the team or made the practice squad, but, you know, eventually he churned out. And so he's with the Steelers. Good player. But still, Devin Bush is a big-time player, young player in that in that defense, and he also, like Taylor Lewan, I believe ACL, and I guess I say this every year or a lot of years, but it just seems like there's so many of them.
Yeah, it does.
But, you know, you're talking about that defense. Obviously, T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree, the two outside linebackers, are monsters, and you can't help both of those tackles, you know? So right there you have an issue. Stephon Tuitt is a monster. Cameron Hayward, I mean, they've got – a lot of big-time players. Joe Hayden is basically the best pass defender. He leads the NFL in passes defended over the past few years. You know, Minkah Fitzpatrick. So, I mean, they've got stars and big-time players, and they just all, you know, the Steelers. Last year, the fact that they were even sniffing anything with Roethlisberger out tells you what their defense is and what Mike Tomlin is.
You don't have faith in Delvin Hodges? Come on, man.
Duck, baby, duck.
Duck Hodges, baby.
Yeah.
He was good for what? 6 quarters?
I mean, I still remember. I mean, you know, the Titans are in the playoffs because the Jets beat that team. But still, like, the fact that they were even in position, pretty amazing. But yeah, it's they're great against the run. They're, you know, all statistically they're excellent in every way. Now, you can nitpick the Titans schedule a little bit right now. You could nitpick the Steelers schedule some too. They've had some dogs in there, but you know they are going to be primed after what Derrick Henry did. That's going to be a heck of a strength against strength matchup.
It is, and it's going to be interesting from the Titans' standpoint. You know, what sort of routes are you comfortable running with Arthur, if you're Arthur Smith, for two reasons. Number one, are you going to have any of your receivers come in and chip a little bit on the left side with Sombrero in there? Are you going to have, you know, maybe some routes closer to the line of scrimmage, given the fact that Pittsburgh's pass rush so far has been pretty incredible? I mean, they are really good at getting to the quarterback. To me, this is a game where Adam Humphries could be pretty valuable for this group and the routes that he runs, how dynamic and gifted he is in the slot. I would guess that Ryan Tannehill looks Adam Humphries' way a lot in this game.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, yeah, I mean, you're going to – yeah, you can chip sometimes with receivers. You can leave in a tight end. You can leave in a tight end and a back. You're probably going to have some, you know, some extra just protections in there. I mean, look, if you have watched this team so far, what you've seen is when help has been given, it's been given to Dennis Kelly, and when opponents have tried to exploit something, I mean, J.J. Watt was trying to exploit Dennis Kelly, and then they – Taylor Lewan gets hurt and he immediately goes the other side and gets a strip sack. Taylor Lewan, the Titans have just been able to say, you're over there, you're good. We know you got it, and then we'll figure out the rest. Now they can't do that anymore. You have to move pieces around and try to compensate. So now I'm trying to – is it today or tomorrow? I guess it is tomorrow that we get Arthur Smith, right?
Yes, tomorrow.
Yes.
For some reason, I thought it was today, but it is tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah, it's always tomorrow.
It is back to regularly scheduled programming comes to the Titans media.
So sad that we don't have to, like, wait for Tom Pelissero tweets. I shouldn't, though. I shouldn't know. But I shouldn't gloat about that because who knows, and every day is a new day. But, yeah, it is nice to just be in a normal football week. But, yeah, they're going to have to compensate, and they're going to have to help both guys at times. Like, this is the rare game, I think, where – both of the, if you just look at the outside linebackers in a opposing 3-4, they're both just monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in a lot of matchups, there's one guy like that you worry about. Well, in this matchup, you worry about both, plus what they have up front. They're not just your run of the mill defensive lineman either. So, yeah, I think it's a good point, Robbie. I think Humphries, you know, the screen game maybe, you know, if Jonnu is okay, they get Jonnu. Probably not as many of these, these long drawn out attempts to go downfield. But if you run the ball, that's another thing. I mean, the whole thing with pass rush is if you run the ball at teams, now you slow them up.
Yep.
And so it's so important. And it'll be, I mean, right now that run game is obviously feeling great. And even with some Brylo, I mean, he did a good job. So that's just, whatever the number is, they got to get to a certain number to keep the Steelers honest.
And if you're the Titans, you're getting more help in the running game this weekend. Mykole Pruitt coming off the COVID list yesterday. And, Joe, you've talked about, you know, he's not a guy that's overly flashy, even though you look at his college numbers catching the ball, pretty darn good.
Just ask Corey Curtis.
Absolutely. But in the running game, Mykole Pruitt has been, I think, an underrated part of what they've been able to do out there.
Yeah, Mykole Pruitt is absolutely. He has carved out a role in the NFL because of what he's done as a run blocker. And he is a guy who – so Jeff Swaim has kind of taken his spot, but Pruitt is a guy who can go ahead and get you a 10, 15-yard catch, too. He catches the ball when he has an opportunity. So, yeah, I mean, so Firkser last week was just unbelievable.
Offensive weapon, Anthony Firkser.
Offensive weapon, and also, like, big-time block on the winning TD. I mean, But, you know, he's a guy. How do you deploy him in this game? You have Pruitt back. You also have Corey Davis back. So there's some good things for the Titans as far as having a whole offense now. Blasting game is back as your lead blocker. You know, you got all those pieces other than, obviously, a really important one at left tackle.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill text in. The real question is, does Derrick Henry throw a pass this week? To be honest,
ooh,
I thought for sure that was coming in overtime on that run.
Yeah.
I thought there was a chance for a second he might pop up and throw that jump pass.
I do wonder. I'm guessing no, because he never gave it a look. Sometimes, you know, those plays can be an option. Like, if it's just not happening, but you got a guy wide open behind you, flip it over there. But, hey, there's a thought. Derrick Henry throwing the ball. Why not? I mean, he's in a battle.
We've seen him do it before.
He's in a battle with Tannehill for MVP. So, you know, you got to get a leg up.
Got to pull out all the stops. When we come back, speaking of Tannehill and Derrick Henry, how does that duo the Titans have right now compare to the good old days with Steve McNair and Eddie George. We'll talk about that on the other side. But first, hope, health, and connection during these unsteady times. It's never been more vital for all of us to have these in our lives, but it's even more important for our children and our team. So please join STARS for an important virtual campaign. Cherish the hope, health, and connection of our young people. This six-week campaign will launch on Monday, October 19th, and run until Tuesday, December 1st, which is Giving Tuesday. Please follow the campaign and celebrate all the incredible ways STARS provides hope, health, and connection within our community. All proceeds raised will go directly to their school-based prevention and mental health counseling services, as well as their intensive outpatient adolescent treatment program. To learn more, please go to starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. We'll be right back on Robbie and Rexrode, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
You were there when Ryan Tannehill joined the team as a backup. Comparing what he was when he walked through the door to where he is now, what changes have you seen?
You know, I think whenever he came, he just approached, you know, practice or the preparation as a starter. We know what he's done in Miami, so we know he had that type of ability. And then from the time that he came in and took over for the position, just been a general. Like I said earlier in the interview after Sunday, he's been spectacular. Just telling guys where they need to be, communicating. We see the throws, we see the plays he makes in the game. And, you know, I think that's where the MVP conversation needs to start with Ryan Tannehill.
That was Derrick Henry on with Mike Florio talking about Ryan Tannehill maybe getting in the MVP conversation. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And, Joe, I want to toss something out there at you because, look, if you've paid attention to the Titans for really any length of time, you know it's been a long time since they've had a lot to be excited about offensively. They've been searching for a quarterback for a long time. And really, quite frankly, I mean, they haven't had a duo like this with Tannehill and Derrick Henry since the days of Steve McNair and Eddie George. Now, it's a little bit different. Number one, the era they played in was very different than it is now. Number two, longevity-wise, McNair and Eddie George did it together for longer than Tannehill and Derrick Henry have been together so far. So there's some built-in differences when you start having this conversation. But it is interesting, like, when you look at, you know, the history of the Titans, I think you can already put Tannehill and Derrick Henry as like the second best duo at least. And this season that they're having right now, I think has a chance to be far and away the best season that any Titans duo has ever had in the history of the franchise. I mean, they've been that good so far.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is, so a year ago, basically we're just about starting. Yeah. I should know this because Jared Stillman asked everybody on the Zoom, like, this is the one-year anniversary of your
– of Tannehill.
Yeah. So basically about a year ago was the start of Tannehill. So it's a very short period of time. It's just been so unbelievably good from that point on. And then obviously they both signed the long-term deals. So it's early to talk about this, but, you know, it's unprecedented. I mean, the NFL has never seen what those guys did in its history, has never seen what those guys did Sunday. So they're doing some special stuff. That's an interesting discussion because, like you said, the longevity, and you're talking about guys who played in the Super Bowl together. You're talking about one guy who has an MVP.
Yep.
I mean, and I think that there is always going to be, you know, a soft spot for guys like that. What you hope as a franchise is that you have debates like this. Like, they're about to play the Steelers this week, and, you know, Steelers fans can talk all day about, you know, like, Jerome Bettis against Franco Harris or Terry Bradshaw against Ben Roethlisberger or whatever it is, you know? And that's what you want, is that you have, you know, people who pick players who are that good. And so it's been a long time. I mean, what would be the next – I guess the next combo would be Kerry Collins and Chris Johnson?
I guess so. I mean, unless you want to toss Vince Young in there, I don't know.
Vince Young and Chris Johnson cross paths
briefly.
At the end of Vince and beginning of Chris. Yeah. So, and that, I mean, that could have been a dynamic combination, but yeah, I mean, this is a combination. So here's a question: is at any point back then, and I'm sure the answer is yes. And I mean, I could remember this too. Like, were McNair and George the talk of the NFL? I mean, I'm sure they were up there, right?
Yeah, they were up there. I don't know if they were ever the singular talk of the NFL. I mean, even in 99, a lot of it was, hey, look at what Kurt Warner and the Rams are doing, because the greatest show on turf and everything going on offensively there. But, you know, they were – it was different with Steve McNair and Eddie George just because they were outwardly the heart and soul, and, like, you could see it. I mean, Eddie George, you talk about, like, the perfect leader for a football team. It was Eddie George. And the numbers were very good. I mean, Eddie George, he rushed for 1,000 yards or more 7 times with the Titans. His best year was in 2000. He had 1,500 yards, 14 touchdowns on 403 carries. He's 27 years old that year. You look back to Derrick Henry's year last year, 1,540 yards, 16 touchdowns on 303 carries at the age of 25. Had 100 less carries than Eddie George did. I mean, it's just it's incredible to look in, you know, a relatively short amount of time. You know, you're talking 20 years here, how much the game has changed. Like, even in McNair's MVP season, he had 3,200 yards passing, 24 touchdowns, 7 picks, 62.5% completion percentage. I mean, Tannehill, if he keeps up at this pace, he is going to blow those numbers away this year. Now, whether or not that means he wins NFL MVP, I don't know. But well, it's interesting to see how much different the game is now.
Yeah, and that's an era thing. So you have to grade on a curve with the Tannehill numbers against the McNair numbers for sure. I mean, it is a different game, no question about it. And I mean, also you do look at supporting casts. You know, Derek Mason was a great receiver, but the collection around, and Frank Wycheck was a great tight end, but the collection around Tannehill. I mean, it's funny because you're still talking about a second-year guy in A.J. Brown, but he's legit. Good. He's a guy. And you're talking about you're young in the process of Jonnu Smith being a difference maker, but he is one. And now, yeah, so like, and it's just like all these guys, and I think you also credit Arthur Smith for this, but like Firkser comes in and Humphreys comes in, and now Corey Davis is looking good when he was playing. I mean, it's just a lot of ways that Tannehill can go in a different era. So the numbers are definitely going to be way different. You know, I mean, Eddie George, it's amazing when you look at his career, year after year after year of he didn't have less than 312 carries in his first 8 years in the league. You know, it was between 312 and 403 year after year. And that era, when, by the way, they let people hit a lot more than they do now, head-to-head hits, they didn't care. Concussion protocol didn't exist, you know. Practices, full contact. I mean, it was such a different game. So someone doing that in that era, man, they took a beating.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, as far as dynamic duos are concerned with the Titans, what about Smash and Dash? Talking about Lindale White, Chris Johnson.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
Yeah.
It's different, you know, with quarterback-running back relationships, but that was a very good running back duo, especially for that 1 year, the first year they were together. The Smash and Dash, pretty effective.
Yeah, it was a brief
duo.
A brief run for Lindale White, but he was that was, and that's a great nickname too. If you have a great nickname to go with it, it just makes it better. Have the Titans had a defensive duo that, I mean, they had like great players like Keith Bullock and Javon Kearse, and you know, but did they have someone who would, like, a defensive duo? I don't even know I don't even know, like right now, you know, you could look at those safeties.
Yeah. I mean, Haynesworth and Bullock, when they were pretty high level when they were here together.
Yeah, that's two studs. But, yeah, it's kind of a little different on defense.
Right.
But, yeah, it's I mean, look, was Eddie George ever an MVP candidate? Because back then, running backs did win it more. You know, back then they had, like, a Sean Alexander would win it, and LaDainian Tomlinson, Marshall Faulk, you'd have some running backs win it. Was Eddie George in any of those years?
If he was going to be 2000, my guess would be 2000, that he had to be in there somewhere. I mean, 1,500 yards. The Titans were 13-3 that year. They just come. That was the year after they went to the Super Bowl. I mean,
yeah, they should have won it that year.
Yeah, I mean,
they should have won it all
league.
That year. Yeah,
just got beat by the Ravens.
Those Ravens,
those
man.
Darn
those
Ravens.
Those Ravens.
Which I think that's partly why, like, last year's win against the Ravens for the Titans, like, their fans, it felt so good.
Oh, yeah.
Because you thought back to 2000, and then you thought back to 2008 as well, when the Titans also had the best record in the league. A little bit of payback last year for the Titans.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt. It was long time coming for that. But, yeah, I mean, so I don't know right now. Yeah, it's so early, of course, on all this stuff. But I'm trying to even rack my brain to think of this far into an NFL season, you know, five games in, how many teams have two people that people are actually actively talking about as MVP candidates?
Not many. I can't think of many in years past.
I'm sure it's happened, you know, with a QB running back or maybe a QB receiver like we were talking about yesterday.
With Brady and
Moss.
You
know, Brady and Moss that year, but not much. And it doesn't – usually it's pretty obvious. And it's probably – like if things keep going like this, I mean, Tannehill probably – you know, it's just because he's a quarterback and his numbers are ridiculous right now. And if you win, I think it goes to the quarterback more. But if Derrick Henry were to cross the 2,000-yard threshold, I think that's what it would take for him. I think you'd have to.
He might do that.
Well, yeah, I mean, right now he's on pace for 1,900. I mean, I know we're talking about some lofty stuff here. All it takes is a couple weeks of, like, 18 carries for 43 yards, which the Steelers could make happen this week, but – when you come off a game like that, your mind starts running a little bit on what it could look like.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked about Derrick Henry getting off to, I guess, somewhat of a slower start this year, even though I think he was leading the league in rushing
right.
the first three weeks. And we were talking about, hey, when's that running game going to get going? When's he going to pop the big one? He did. If the Titans are able to move the ball and put up some points this week against Pittsburgh, not necessarily to the level they have the last couple of weeks, but they're hovering around, you know, 27, 28, 30 points. What does that prove to you about this offense going up against that defense without Taylor Lewan if they're able to do that?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, honestly, if they had not lost Lewan, I think I'd be sitting now saying I want to see the Steelers prove they can stop these guys. I would feel edge Titans. But that is it's a big deal. And that's why you pay a guy $80 million over 5 years, you know, because if you can have – there are just so few guys who can give you that kind of security protecting your quarterback's blindside. So, yeah, if they do it without Lewan this week, I think that's a big statement on Sobrilo and Kelly and the whole thing, the fact that they can – and it's definitely a game plan thing. I mean, this is a tough week for Arthur Smith. I mean, every week's tough in this league. You're a coordinator. But Arthur Smith this week, I mean, he's got to be staying up a little bit later and scratching that head a little bit because there's just some there's more matchups you have to worry about now. And you lose your third best player, I would argue. Stillman says for top player. I say third best player on the whole team in Lewan, but that's a big loss. So, yeah, if they do that, I think it tells you that they're just – it's going to take a series of crazy accidents for anyone to stop this team.
When we come back, a borderline disrespectful move made yesterday in the NFL by a guy that Titans fans are very familiar with. We'll tell you what that is on the other side of the break. But first, make sure you're there on Saturday, November 14th to support Stars by running, walking, or boogieing for the Nashville Striders 20th annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K run walk powered by Enterprise Rental Car. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, and it's on the certified course in the heart of Shelby Bottoms Park. You can also show your support and participate virtually. That's up to you. That's Saturday, November 14th for the Nashville Striders Shelby Bottoms Boogie to benefit Stars and powered by Enterprise Rental Car. For more information, please visit starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Well, what's especially interesting about this whole scenario is that Brian Flores has been so incredibly patient and quite honestly just held conviction about this decision, not succumbing to fan pressure, not worrying about what Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow were doing as other rookies around the league, but instead really wanted to make sure that he put Tua in a position to succeed when he finally did put him out there. It felt to Dolphins fans all along like this would be the moment. You go into the bye, you come out of it, and you start Tua. What nobody anticipated was two routes by the Dolphins over their previous two opponents with Ryan Fitzpatrick as a starter. So, like, it felt actually like Fitzpatrick might have been the starter coming out of this. That said, the one thing we should point to is the offensive line has been playing really well for the Dolphins. Chris Greer, the team's vice president, adding some really solid pieces both through the draft and free agency. So all of a sudden, you've got some protection for Tua. You've got the mentorship that's going on with Fitzpatrick. And really, you've got a situation where now Tua is in a place to succeed. And that is what was most important to Flores all along.
That was Jeff Darlington from ESPN talking about the switch the Miami Dolphins have made at quarterback. And, Joe, I am fired up about this. How in the world could you take my guy, Ryan Fitzpatrick, out of the starting lineup? They just won 24-0. They've won two games in a row. I know it was against the Jets, so it doesn't really count.
I think this
Magic's on a roll, man. How can you make the switch?
It's like playing the stock market, you know? You sell high.
Get out while you're
Yeah,
dead.
You sell high. And you know what he is, and you're like, you know what? How about for once, let's let Fitzmagic just go out on top.
Just riding off into the
sunset. You know what? Thank you for your service. I'm not waiting for your four-pick game. Tua, you're in. But what is, to me, what this says is that it was just a matter of time.
Yeah.
And that they just were waiting. It's really all about Tua's timeline. It's not about Fitzmagic. They're like, hey, thank you. Great job. And now here's the future of the franchise. Let's see it. You know, they must – I mean, to me, it's got to be a reflection on what he's been doing. And I'm sure – look – all respect for Ryan Fitzpatrick, but I'm sure if you put those guys side by side in the field, watch them work after a while, you're going to see one of them's a lot better than the other one,
yeah.
Right? Or at least a lot more talented.
What sort of an NFL quarterback do you think Tua can be?
I'm excited about Tua. I mean, the only thing I worry about is that, you know, here and there he misses something or gambles too much, and that's got to, you know, he's got to work on that. I think his arm talent, along with athleticism, is rare. I think his arm talent is incredible. The combination of big arm, you know, can throw the ball, you know, with force, big time, make all the throws, but the touch on the deep ball and the ability to, I mean, he's just got everything you want in arm talent for a quarterback to go with a guy who can run around and extend plays and be a playmaker. I think he could be great.
I think he can too, and it's interesting to see what he looks like, you know, coming back from the injury. It's a very significant injury, serious injury. Looked good the other day. Now he only threw two passes the other day in the game he got in, so whatever. I mean, 2 for 2, 9 yards. That's not telling you a whole lot about where he is right now physically, but I'm excited to see him. I mean, Tua, to me, was one of the best college quarterbacks I've ever seen. I know we're saying that a lot recently just with where the college game is, because it seems like every year some guy comes in and has just an incredible season that we haven't seen before, like Joe Burrow just coming out of nowhere. But Tua, when he started at Alabama, I was like, oh my goodness, who is this kid? I mean, I remember the Vanderbilt game where he came in after that game was well out of hand, and just some of the throws he was making. I know that it was against like Vanderbilt and probably their second string at that point in the game. But just the placement of the ball that he had. I mean, it was incredible to watch him play. And then, of course, he goes on later that year to win the national championship and looks great in that game, coming in relief of Jalen Hurts. And the rest was history from there. But I think he has the chance to be pretty good at the NFL level. I think some people, like, forgot about, you know, he was supposed to be the first pick, and then Joe Burrow came in and was amazing. But I think Tua has a chance to be pretty good in Miami.
Oh, yeah. No, I think he could be great. Yeah, that day at Vanderbilt, I remember I tweeted about him. I wish you could find your tweets. I know some people can, but, of course, it'll probably take me a few years to figure that out. But I tweeted something like that, like, man, watch out, Jalen Hurts. Like, this guy is pretty good. And somehow it got retweeted into Bama Twitter. So I had, like, some Bama fans all, like, you know, shut up. You know, Jalen Hurts. I'm just saying, you know.
Bama Twitter.
I had
never.
Some Bama Twitter in the mentions on Tua.
Bama Twitter in your mentions. Oh, like that ever happens, Joe.
Yeah. Well, they're no Vol Twitter, but.
Yeah, they're definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's it. They also are, it's like relative, you know, there's a spoiled side and then there's a long suffering side
look,
of those
that,
two
that
Twitter.
That Tua Jalen debate, that, because I worked in Tuscaloosa at the time when this was going on.
Yeah.
It was a headache, man. It was a headache. I was right there at that media presser with Jalen Hurts at fall camp.
Yeah.
Like just ripping the coaches and everything. I was there. I was right next to Jalen Hurts when he was saying that. I was just like, ooh.
Like Saban's not letting him talk anymore.
Yeah, I found your tweet.
Like, yep. I was like, yep, he's not. This is not going to happen.
I found Joe Rexroad's tweet from
you
that
did?
Day. September
really?
Of 2017.
How do you do this?
I don't want to throw out any more blistering takes this week, but I'm thinking Tua Tagovailoa might be after Jalen Hurts' job at some point.
Hey!
That was the tweet.
How did you find that?
I tweeted.
You got to teach me how to do these.
Joe Rexroad, Tua, and Jalen. Those three words.
Hey, see, so they're proof that, that you know, I do have some takes that aren't terrible.
That was a good one.
There we go.
That was a call. That was like the call your shot Friday before it was a thing.
From 2000. And by the way, also that day, I mean, all the Alabama media, all your guys, Casa Grande, you know, they were in that press box like, oh, this is going to be a good game. This is going to be this team is not very good right now. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I think Vanderbilt will hang in for three quarters. You know, it'll probably be like a 10, 14-point win. But, yeah, okay, I can buy that. Casa Grande was like, oh, no. This could be. And, like, seriously, I mean, like, people thought that day. It's amazing to look back. And then I'm watching it, it's like, this is not even this is not the same sport.
It was bad, man.
But what's crazy about this Tua start is there is going to be so much pressure on Tua because we've seen how Justin Herbert's played over the last couple weeks. Joe Burrow, which, like, hit or miss, like, he's been pretty good for the most part, but his team's awful around him. And you have pretty much the better record out of the three quarterbacks, so you're in the better position to be successful out of the three quarterbacks that were drafted in your class, and obviously that's where people are going to hold you to. That's what people do in every sport. They hold you to where you got drafted with other people. Same thing for Trae Young and Luka Doncic. Their careers were always parallel each other, only because, like, you know, the Mavs traded that pick and, you know, obviously got Luka, and then the Hawks got Trae Young. So they're going to always parallel to each other.
Marcus and Jameis.
The list goes on and on. And so now Tua's in a position to where he's going to have the pressure of competing with Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow with what they're doing in their rookie season, which so far for both of those guys has been pretty good.
Yeah, it has. Promising for all of them.
I also think, I mean, Miami and Jordan is pretty
Love,
good.
And Jordan Love.
Yeah, thanks for Jordan. Yeah, Jordan Love's playing great.
In 2027, he'll join the fray.
With, like, the Buffalo Bills. Looking forward to that. I think Miami's, like, they've got some good pieces, though. Like, I think there are some ingredients there for Tua to be successful. In their offense, I think there's still some work to do there. Defensively, they're pretty good.
Yeah. you got a grade on the Jets curve this last week. Yeah. But still.
But even without that, they're pretty good.
They are. I think Flores has a chance to be. Because Vrabel, people are, like, talking about Vrabel right now, coach of the year and everything, and everybody's like, oh, of the Belichick coaching tree, he's the guy. But it's like, well, but he's not, though. He's not a guy who – technically not in the tree. But Flores might be the Belichick coaching tree guy who gets it done here.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CD text in. Hope you're okay, CD. Says, just hit a deer with my car on the way to work. In my defense, I was trying to teach my car how to stiff arm – like Derrick Henry, and the deer looked like a mix between Josh Norman and Earl Thomas. Hope you're okay, CD.
So did he really hit a deer?
He says he did.
If you did, I appreciate the
the
humor.
Good positive
in the text.
Spin on it.
Yeah, be safe, man.
Watch out for the deer out there.
See the text line, you never know.
Never know what you're gonna get.
Like if someone called after that, that could be a frantic call, but it's just sort of just hit a deer.
That's the time to calm down. Process what's going on.
I just hit a deer just like Derek Henry hit Josh Norman. Roll Tide. I'll see you guys later. Love listening to
the
show.
Go get the car.
First time caller.
Love listening to the
show.
Hang
up, listen.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, be safe.
I hope CD's okay. Hope the car is okay. I hope the deer's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's pray for that.
Probably not, but I hope so.
I mean,
come on, Jeff.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, cars usually aren't good for deers.
Jeez.
I just said deers.
Yeah. That's not a word.
Sorry.
CD, hope you're doing well, my friend. Thanks for texting in. When we come back, we'll get into the trade deadline a little bit. Should the Titans make a move and trade for a left tackle? We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.